All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 73 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. As you can see, today's lecture is the Civil War, Part 1. So, the first thing that occurs to me to do is, and we're going to encounter a number. I've noticed that in the past few lectures, we've had a lot of interesting terms that we are learning, and we've been learning quite a lot of new words, very important words, words like constitution, contradiction, amendment, and what else? Popular sovereignty, and now we have this concept of the Civil War, and I'm always trying to be careful not to use words in a way that just assumes that everybody knows what I'm talking about, and then you guys don't know, and you guys are not very aggressive about pointing it out. And so this is a skill that I want you to learn. And one of the most important things I could do as a teacher is keep on talking about this idea that as a student, you must develop this part of your, the part of your ability to learn is your desire to learn. And part of it is your willingness to be ambitious about the things that you are encountering and whether you understand them or not. And I think that a lot of what kids are being taught nowadays, unfortunately, takes away from that ambition and makes you a little less willing to fight hard to understand things, because there's a lot of stuff out there that's being taught that doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense, and it's probably discouraging to you. But in this class, I think that I have organize history in such a way that you can see that it matters, and I want to continue to encourage you to not lose your ambition, to not lose your desire to understand. And so when we use expressions or words and ideas in this class, we're not going to pretend that we know them, and we're not going to just let them slip by if we don't really know them. And we're not going to use it. I'm going to do my best to never use words that I can't explain to you. And it occurs to me that the whole expression, before we even get into the topic of the Civil War, is a kind of a strange one. And so we need to, again, it's a matter of being. My favorite early philosopher in history, his name was Socrates, and one of his mottos was, know what you know and what you don't know. Learn to know the difference and try to know, right? And be ambitious. I follow him in that particular regard. And so when we have this idea of the Civil War, it occurs to me that not everybody knows what that means. And I think it's funny because I was like that too when I was younger, and I still have some of that as a grown up, where I encounter words and I don't always challenge myself to see how well I understand them. Who can tell me? I'm putting you on the spot here, but who can tell me what Civil War means? Why do we have that expression? And what are we going to be getting into in this, what this topic is going to be about? When you hear the expression, do you know what it means? And if not, are the alarm bells going off? Are you saying, Mr. Powell is going to be talking about something, I don't know what it is, and I'm going to challenge him on it? So, what do you guys think about that? Henry Wyatt, go ahead.
I know what a civil war is. This is Wyatt.
Okay.
I'm going to explain it.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, a civil war means a war between a single country, not a war between two countries, a war between two countries, pretty much the same country.
Yeah, so
one side wants something and the other side wants the other, so they start killing each other.
Okay. Okay, good, good. Thank you, Wyatt. That's a good start. So Wyatt is helping us to understand that usually when we think of wars, we think of two or more countries at war with each other. And there we don't necessarily have to put a special word in front of the word war. It's just a war. We use names for it depending on what countries and so on. Okay, but what Wyatt is trying to say, we haven't got it quite as clear as we need though, is that a civil war involves the people within a country. Okay, that's the key thing. The people within a country are fighting each other. Okay, Abby, did you want to add to that, or what do you have to say about that?
I had my hand raised from earlier when I wanted to say what it was, but...
Okay, but that's enough. You don't have anything to add.
No.
Okay. Rosetta, do you have anything to add?
I was just saying, I know what a civil war is, but why is it called civil war?
Okay. Thank you, Rosetta. That's a good one to say, right? So, in other words, all right, we came up with a definition. A civil war is a war between the people of a country, between people within a country. So, but why do we call it that? It's not a strange use of the term, civil. When you hear the word civil, what usually comes to mind? Have you ever been told to be civil? Or what do we say, you know, what other word do we have where civil is a part of the word? Can you guys think, why are we using this particular term? Walker?
Civilized.
To be civilized, right? Yeah, okay. Civilization. Civilized. Civilian. Right, okay. So those all have to do with people living in a country, and hopefully it's civilized, meaning that people treat each other with respect, and even better, respect each other's rights. Yeah, so that's where we get the word civil, is part of the word civilized, the word civilian, civilization. Right, so of course, but, and what does it mean to be civil towards somebody else? It's an interesting word. Have you ever heard that? To be civil. Wyatt?
To respect each other.
Yeah, to be respectful. Okay. Yeah, to be respectful. It's kind of civil is similar to the word tolerate, right? It doesn't mean that you like everybody. But you can be civil towards somebody else. It just means that you don't insult them, you don't hurt them, you behave in a way that says, okay, you're a person and I'm a person, and we don't have to like each other, but we're part of the same society and we're going to live side by side without hurting each other. To be civil. You probably are civil towards your neighbors. So what does it mean to say, you know, how do you behave towards your neighbors, right? Do you invite them in your house every day? Do you share meals? Do you do everything together with your neighbors and all the houses down the street, Abby?
No, but we're not mean to them.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You know, you say hi. You wave to each other when you're going to work or to school. And the certain behavior of just being respectful towards each other. Yeah, so when we use the expression civil in a civil war, it's kind of the opposite of that. It's in fact the people who normally would be civil now are going to kill each other. It's really a kind of strange expression, I find. But in a way it makes sense. It's taking people who normally live side by side and now they're at war with each other. Yeah, so it's a really, really terrible thing. Okay, so that is the expression civil. We see its connection to other words. We can kind of have it in a word family in our mind with civilian, civilized, civilization means being nice and respectful towards others. But of course, in a civil war, people who are normally nice and respectful towards each other, even if they disagree with each other, are going to kill each other. And that's the thing, we're going to have this civil war because Americans were being civil towards each other even though there was something terrible going on. What was it? What was it? I'm going to show you a quote from somebody that's very important in the Civil War. And that will help us. I'll come back to this new timeline in just a second, okay? But I'm going to bring this up. And this has a very... This is a quote by Abraham Lincoln. We're going to talk about him soon. If you don't know who he is, that's okay. He's the president during the Civil War, okay? And we'll talk about him soon. And he's talking about in this quote, one of my favorite quotes from Abraham Lincoln. This is just before the Civil War. And he's talking about how we are civil towards each other, but we shouldn't be. This thing that we're doing is wrong. This United States that we have has a terrible, terrible problem. And we need to get rid of this problem. What is it? We know what it is. Right? Hold on a second. I gotta get my things up. What's the problem, Rosetta?
Slavery.
It's slavery. How can we be civil towards each other if we have slavery in our country? So look at what Abraham Lincoln said here. I'm just going to read from this quote, and I will also post this to the class web page because it's, I think, a very eloquent quote, and I think Abraham Lincoln was a great president, so I admire him a lot. So here's what he said. He said, this declared indifference means we don't really care, right? To be indifferent means you don't care. For the spread of slavery, I cannot but hate. I hate it because of the monstrous injustice of slavery itself. That's very important and strong words. Who were the people in America that thought that slavery was a monstrous injustice? Let's go back and talk about that important word that we learned. What was the name of the group of people that said, how dare you live with this stuff, America? We cannot have it. Nemo, what were they called?
Abolitionists,
right, okay. So here we have the sentiment of abolitionism. Slavery is a monstrous injustice. I hate it. And I'm not going to read the whole quote because there's actually too many difficult vocabulary words in here. But look what he says at the end. People can point to America and say, you guys are hypocrites. You guys don't really mean what you said. You had this amazing thing, the Declaration of Independence, and you said that everybody should be free, but look at you. You have slavery. So Abraham Lincoln said, this is terrible. We cannot continue to do this. All right, so this is what's going to lead us to the Civil War, because normally Americans are civil to each other. Some of them have slaves and some of them don't, and they're being civil, but at a certain point they're not willing to be civil anymore, and it came at this point. Right? Well, let's see. What am I going to put? Let's put this map. It came after this point. All right, so let's get the teachers out here. What does this map tell us about the United States? 1857. Patrick, blue and pink, what are they?
I remember that the master freed his slave in the slave states, but they said the slave was not free, so all the states that were green and blue over there are now red in slavery, surrounding freedom and slavery.
Okay, but you're being, you're already telling us the story of how the map got to be this way. What does the pink say? Basically, what does it say?
Slavery.
And what does the blue say?
Freedom.
Okay, no slavery. Right, okay. Yeah. And Patrick is saying that we're going to get to a point where, in American history, where in 1857, there was an important event where a slave had been taken. And so if we go back one step, can we go this way? There we go. Okay. A slave had been taken from the pink area up into the blue area and back. And his name was Dred Scott. And he said, well, I'm not a slave anymore because I was in the blue area. And then he sued his master and said, I'm free now. And then the United States court said, no, you're not. And so that's, his name was Dred Scott. And so the United States court said, basically, the American government cannot control whether there is slavery in the territories or not. That's how we get the pink. So, can we now be civil? Can we now be civil if this is going to be the United States? Slavery everywhere here, but no slavery here, is that going to work out? Yikes. Right? And so, this is the importance of what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, we can't keep going this way. This is no good. And he said this in some debates in 1860. A few years after the Dred Scott decision, people were arguing more and more about how terrible slavery is, and Abraham Lincoln agreed. He was a kind of abolitionist. But he said, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. How do we get rid of slavery? What was the problem? Why could America not get rid of it? Why was it not possible to get rid of it? Now we're going to have to go back to this special vocabulary word that we need to check up on again from before as well. I'll give you guys a hint, and then you guys got to tell me what the word means, and then we'll go from there. The important word is supermajority. Why is that such an important word? And why would Abraham Lincoln say, I hate slavery, but there's nothing I can do about it? Rosetta?
Because the majority means most of the people think slavery is good, and then super majority means basically the anti-slavery.
Hold on, Rosetta. No, you're getting a couple things confused here. It doesn't. The concept supermajority doesn't have anything to do with slavery. It's just an idea about fractions. So I want to see if Abby can explain it. Abby?
Well, a majority is more than 50%. A supermajority.
Okay, wait. Don't go too fast. Okay, everybody? A majority is more than 50%. Okay, so 50% plus one. Okay, why do we need the idea of a supermajority? What's that, Abby?
Well, because supermajority is way more than 50%, not just 51%.
All right, a lot more than 50%. Right, so in this country of the United States, were you going to get a lot more than 50% of the people voting against slavery?
No, because slavery was normal.
There you go. Sadly, remains still normal and valued in too many places. You are not going to get a supermajority voting against it. So this was what the country was looking like. There was no way to get rid of it. How can we stay civil? How can people who believe in freedom accept this kind of arrangement? Well, as it turns out, something very strange happened. Abraham Lincoln was elected president, And, well, everybody was wondering what was going to happen. But Abraham Lincoln had said, okay, I can't do anything against slavery because we can't have a supermajority. But something very strange happened. Because Abraham Lincoln was elected president, the states down here said something amazing. They said, we do not want to be in the United States anymore. And they left. I'm going to take you to an older map because I haven't had a chance to update it yet. Okay? This is the United States in 1861. This is an older map that I made. And so notice that Kansas and Oregon had been added as free states. Okay? But this now says something else. This now doesn't just say states that had slavery. It says something strange. It says secession. Another difficult vocabulary word. What it means is that these states that are marked in pink left the United States or claimed to do it. And this is going to be a really interesting topic. They said, we don't want to be in the United States anymore. We're leaving. We are declaring our independence. So it's like, in a way, pardon me, as America declared its independence from the British Empire. And then later on, these four states joined. So all of a sudden what happened was the United States became two countries. The blue and the yellow was in one country, the United States. The pink was a new country called the Confederate States of America. And imagine what the world would be like today if that was the case. Now, this is something that just kind of shocks me when I think about it. Before we continue with the story, I want you guys to imagine what the world would be like today. And I made a map. Right? Remember this map that we had at the beginning of the year of all the countries in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And imagine if, instead, it looked like this. Now, that's not a big-looking difference, is it? Do you see the difference? Because it's not even that big. Obviously, look at America to see the difference, right? It doesn't show up as much. There's the world today, and, well, here's the world with another country in it, the Confederate States of America.
Mm-hmm.
How different would the world be today if that was the chain, if that existed? For instance, one interesting question is, by a show of hands, who would be here, would be living in the Confederate States of America today, other than the United States of America? How do I raise my hand? I got it. Patrick has to raise his hand. Abby, Mr. Powell. Dana? Okay, so three of us out of the class four would be living in the Confederate States of America today. And if Mr. Powell was living in the Confederate States of America, by a show of hands, how many of you would be taking history at our house if Mr. Powell was broadcasting from the Confederate States of America? I see no other hands are going up, right? Because what would that mean? What would that mean? There would be a country here with 100 million people living in it that have slavery. And that just is a shocking thought, because how different would the rest of the world be if the United States didn't exist as one country anymore? How different would the rest of the world be? Does anybody have a thought about that before we get into it? Because that is a fascinating question. And I'm going to show you a timeline to make you think about it. Walker, you have some thoughts?
Well, all the wars that the United States was in, like World War I and World War II, probably the whole war would have gone differently if the United States wasn't one country.
Uh-huh, very interesting thought. I have produced a new anchor fact timeline for you guys. Because these are facts that we are going to be studying. And they are facts that tell us a lot about the way the world is today. And so I wanted you to have this in advance to see where things are headed in our story. And Walker is right that the United States of America fought in two really important wars, World War I and World War II. And we will learn those about those wars closer to the end of the course. And what we will see is the United States basically was the most important country in those two wars. And without the United States fighting those wars, the entire planet would be different today. Impossible to know how different. But I'm going to give you some guesses later on in the course about how different the world would be if the United States had not fought in these two wars. I think the entire planet would be a different place. And one of the most fascinating things about it is we're going to learn about this president who made America go into World War I, and he was also born in the South. He was born in Virginia. And he would never have become the president of the United States and would not have led the United States into the world wars if he was not American. He would have been in the Confederate States of America. He would have been part of a different country. So a very interesting question comes up. What would America be like today? Would this even have happened? And what else would not be the way that it is today if America had not fought the Civil War? It is a shocking thought. The entire history of the world would be different today. Abby, thought?
I have one kind of personal thing, is that we would have slaves, probably.
Yeah, so now that's the other thing, is what about slavery? Would it be gone today? Now, here is a really interesting document on the internet called the Constitution of the Confederate States of America, the new country that the Southern states tried to create. And if we look in that Constitution and we look for the word slave, we will start to find it. And I'm going to go take you to the most important part of that Constitution, and it's right here in Section 9 of that Constitution. Some of it's complicated, but basically what it says is that in that country, the government would never make a law denying the right of property in Negro slaves. Part of the Constitution said the government would never make a law ending slavery. So there would be a country that had in its constitution slavery can never be ended. Would we still have slavery today?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a terrible thought. What a terrible and frightening thought. So when we get into the Civil War tomorrow, it's quite amazing to think of it. It's quite amazing to think of it. But we are talking about a time in history that is going to change the entire history of the world. And Abraham Lincoln became the president. The Southern states said, we don't want to be in the United States anymore. We are leaving. And then that's how we get the Civil War. But why? Why did Abraham Lincoln say, you can't leave? Why not say to the Southern states, go? Go away. We don't want you. Goodbye and good riddance. Why not say that? Why have a war? Why did Abraham Lincoln do that? Why did we have a civil war? The Southern states left. They said, we don't want to fight. We just want to leave. What do you guys think? Jeremy?
I think Lincoln saw that the entire history would be different if you let the states leave?
Well, that's a very interesting guess, and I think you're right, but in a very particular way. Abby, what's your thought?
My thought is that Abraham Lincoln knew that the United States had to stay united with a capital U if they wanted to be able to defend themselves against enemies and remain a free country.
Not quite. That's a good question. That's actually a good thought. That was part of his thinking. Rosetta, one last guess.
I knew that Abraham Lincoln didn't like slavery, so he probably imagined a world with slavery.
Well, yes, you're right. So you're all right about that particular part. But actually, the real big problem here was this word. Secession. The concept of secession. Secession means that a state can leave the United States. I want everybody, this is going to be the last thing that we talk about today. Does that make sense? That a state can leave the United States. And what would that mean? Why did Abraham Lincoln have to fight the Civil War? Why would there be no United States of America? Nothing meaningful at all, no country that's important in the world today if Abraham Lincoln let the Southern states just leave, secede. What would that mean? Wyatt?
Told everyone that they could do that by just letting them leave. Probably every time a lot of people in a state disagreed against the laws of America, they would succeed until it was only this. What state is Washington, D.C. in? I don't remember.
It's not a state, it's a district. But yeah, you're on the right track, right? What if states just disagreed about different things in the future? Let's say World War I is coming, and the president says we're going to go and fight in Germany, and some of the states say, no, we have the Monroe Doctrine, we never are going to go fight in Europe, we secede. And then later on, there's another disagreement, and another group of states say, no, we don't like that. We secede. What happens to the United States? What happens to a country if its laws include the idea that anytime people disagree, they can just leave? Can you have a country like that, Jeremy?
No!
So it would basically mean that the country would cease to exist. Anytime people disagree, they would leave, and then they would leave again. People are coming and going. What kind of country is that? Can you have a country that has a set of rules that say, well, whenever you want, we're going to get rid of the country? That's the idea of secession. To secede is to leave the country. So Abraham Lincoln could not say, yeah, go ahead, leave. We're going to let you take a huge chunk out of our country. And then later on, like Wyatt saying, somebody else has a disagreement, they leave. How long before there is no United States? Not long, because the whole idea of the country would cease to be. You can't have a country if the rules say, leave whenever you want. So this is why we have to have a civil war, because you cannot dismantle, you can't have a set of laws that allow anybody to dismantle the country whenever they want. So there was this terrible thing of slavery, and there was a set of states that were breaking the law, basically dismantling the country. He had to stop them. So tomorrow we'll look at the Civil War and how, thankfully, the Northern states won and the United States survived, and what that is going to mean for the world. Oh, an America without slavery. All right. we're over time here, but that's where we got to stop. All right, so we'll look at the Civil War itself tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you then.
Bye, Mr. Pat.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.